Let's dive into our text. Turn with me your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 18. We're in the Old Testament this morning. Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 4. Okay, I'll bring this up again. Oh no, I think the thing's too so far. Oh no. Hello? Well, it's on, but there's no noise coming through. Yes, so keep your place there as we sort this out. Leviticus 18, verses 1 to 4. You go. Right, look at that. The blessing of technology, eh? You go, brother, you take that. Thank you. Okay, read with me verses 1 to 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in the ordinances. Verses 4, ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So the title of this sermon will be from verses 4, as we see there. Keep mine ordinances, and this is going to be a good practical sermon towards us through the nation of Israel. Let's dedicate this time to God in prayer. Lord, we love you. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to hear from your word, Lord, even just to sing some songs unto thee, Father, and some beautiful hymns. Lord, we just pray that you prepare our hearts this morning to hear your word, as we've heard the other week, Lord, to take heed how we hear according to your word, Lord. And Lord, we just pray continue to strive in our hearts, Lord, and work miracles in our lives when we need to. We thank you for your loving kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Leviticus 18, 1 to 4. So in this passage, the word of God is dealing with the children of Israel, giving them direct commands on what to do and what not to do. And then here in Leviticus chapter 18, God is reminding the children of Israel to keep away from doing the behavior that the Egyptians did in their land and also the Canaanites in theirs. Remember that the Israelites were under captivity or in bondage there in the land of Egypt in slavery. The message here in Leviticus 18 in our passage is to not walk in their ordinances or in their ways, but instead Israel, God is commanding them through the prophet Moses to walk in God's ways now, to walk in his statutes, to keep his judgments. Chapter 18 here lists some of the practices that Israel was to abstain from and to be set apart from. You know, one of them, if we were to read this whole chapter, is talking about having sexual relations with close family or family members. You know, and it goes on to say all throughout, as Moses is giving the law, things that they shouldn't do, things that they should do. And the other thing, too, is in the land of Canaan, there and even in Egypt, was idolatry. And God is telling them to put these things off and to do the things that he's commanding them to do. So in Exodus, which is just the book before Leviticus here, we are learning and we're going through a series of Pastor Montgomery. We see there that God has taken them out of bondage. God has taken them out of Egypt. That Israel now is redeemed and established as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And then in Leviticus, Israel now is being taught through the prophet Moses, God is telling them, God is saying unto them how to fulfill their priestly call now as a holy people, as a set-apart people unto God. God now has redeemed them. Now God requires them to do something. God requires them to work, to labor, to be set apart as a holy priesthood. And we know that the Levites were the Levitical priesthood there. So we see that they have been led out of the land of bondage, which is Egypt in Exodus, and then into the sanctuary of God in Leviticus. They move from redemption to service, from deliverance to dedication. And ain't that a blessing that God has done that unto Israel? And remember, folks, and I'm sure we all know this, but Egypt is always pictured as the world. That Egypt is always a picture of the world. So notice in verse 3 of our passage here in Leviticus 18, verse 3, read with me, skim your eyes. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall you not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do, neither shall you walk in the ordinances. God is saying, Israel, my chosen people, my children, my called, my set apart, now I have redeemed you from the bondage of Egypt. You want to walk in their ways and in their practices. God has given them the direct and strict command, saying, now that I have called you and I have set you apart, do not walk in their ways. He's set us apart also from the world. We are called, we are a holy people. And and Peter talks about that we are a royal priesthood. We are set apart. And then turn with me your Bibles, please, to Ephesians, to the New Testament. Now, Ephesians chapter 5. God says the same to us also, that as redeemed children, that as Christians, he wants us to walk holy. He wants us to walk set apart from this world. He wants us to walk set apart from our old ways. You know, if all of us here, if we've lived the life of sin before Christ saved us, Ephesians 2 is our testimony. Ephesians 2 is our testimony, right from verses 1 to the end, that it speaks on that where in past times you walked in the ways of sin. But here in Ephesians 5, 7 to 11, God says here, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Verse 7, and then it goes on to say, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. He goes on to say, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Brother, we're in Leviticus 18, 1 to 4. Leviticus 18. So chapter 18 onwards here of Leviticus, God speaks on sanctification and holy living as a peculiar people. We are a peculiar people, just as Israel is. The application is direct to us as well. God here is saying that we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, fellowship with the world. And again, remember, Egypt is pictured as the world. And the context of having fellowship and what they do. You know, we can't take this out of context, otherwise how are souls going to get saved? If we take it out of context, I wouldn't even be standing here preaching unto you. Then God is saying that we are to have no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. And in our passage, that is the message God is giving to his people. That is a message that God is giving to Israel through the prophet Moses, that they should walk holy and set apart as redeemed children, as a redeemed nation. You know, the key word in the book of Leviticus, folks, here, all throughout Leviticus, is holiness. This word occurs 87 times. God makes an emphasis there that he is a holy, righteous, and a just God, and that as his children, he commands, he tells us that we, as holy people, as redeemed children, need to be walking set apart and holy also. Why? God says, there, be ye holy, for I am holy. He makes a statement that he, Jehovah, who is God, is holy, and as his children, we shall be too. And then, go back to me in the New Testament. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking on being unequally yoked with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18. Me on the passage, let's read. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verses 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Corinth to have no fellowship with unrighteousness, to have no fellowship with unbelievers, or rather to not be unequally yoked with them, to not participate in what they do, to be separate. And then in the New Testament, turn with me to Romans 12. Pretty sure most of you folks know where we're going to. Romans chapter 12, verses 1. As Christians, God in the New Testament tells us now to not be conformed to the world. He tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Romans 12, 1 to 2, read with me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verses 2, the crux of it all. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, when we have fellowship with the world and with those that oppose God, we can learn their ways and follow them. And the Bible says we shouldn't. God even says this in Jeremiah 10:2. No need to turn there, but if you're taking notes, jot this down. God says, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. We aren't to learn their ways. And we learn their ways when we fellowship with them, when we have things to do with them, when we participate with them willingly. Even when it talks about unbelievers, it's even speaking or doing things that the world does. We shouldn't be doing things that the world does. We are a set apart people. We are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood. You know, Jesus says that we are in the world, but we aren't of it. And then two times in our passage, we see God speaking, saying, I am the Lord your God. Because of this, just as God was commanding Israel what they must do, God expects, God requires, God commands of us as his children to walk in his ways, have fellowship with him. He makes a statement there, do this and do this and don't do this and don't do that, because I am the Lord your God. Again, focusing on who God is, that he is holy, that he is righteous, and that he is just. And as his children, he commands us to be holy. He commands us to be separate. He commands us to walk with him, have communion with him. Why? Because he is the Lord our God, and in our lives, God is not saying if you feel like doing this sometimes or when you want to, when you can. No. God is saying to keep his statutes, to keep his commandments, to keep his judgments, to keep his ordinances, to have no part in the works of darkness. But why? Because again, he's making the declaration in our passage in Leviticus 18 that he is the Lord our God. He's saying to Israel, I am the Lord your God. God doesn't make deals with you folks. And we know this. He has laid out the principles. He has laid out the commands there to Israel. And the choice is yours to follow him or not. Whichever choice you decide to make, you will reap the reward of it, whether it be your sin or serving God Almighty. You will reap the reward of it. And then back to our passage, please, folks. Back to our passage there in Leviticus chapter 18. We're seeing so far that God strictly is commanding Israel to not practice and do what the Egyptians and Canaanites do. But then God then says down in contrast in verses 4 and 5 of our passage, ye shall do my judgments, and ye shall keep my commandments to walk therein. For I am the Lord your God. Verses 5, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now, Jesus is, well, God, the God of Israel at this time, is making it clear unto the Israelites that walking with him and walking in his ways and walking in his statutes and his judgments and in his commands is the best thing for them. And if they weren't, here in verses 18, chapter 18, then 29, of our passage, it reads, for whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, and he's outline them all there in Leviticus 18. It says, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. And so God was saying there, if you were to practice these abominations, or if you were not to obey his commands, to live an unrepentant life, to not get right with God, that God says that they would be cut off from the people. The book of Leviticus again speaks on how God commands Israel to keep his ordinance and laws. You know, the emphasis there in Leviticus is holiness. That's who God is. He's holy. He's just. And this was written, these commands were written to redeem people, so that they can walk holy, so that they can walk pure after the Lord God, the only true living God, the God of Israel, the God of the Bible is the only true God. Here in chapter 18, we have learned that as we are redeemed as Christians, that God wants us to walk a life of sanctification, which is just a theological term for set apart and living holy unto the God who has saved us. And God has miraculously saved us. And then turn with me to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And all throughout Psalms 119, this speaks on David speaking on the word of God. That's what it's all talking about. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. And read with me. Keep your place there in verses 1 of Psalms 119. God says, God's word says that those who walk in the law of the Lord and keep his testimonies are blessed. The law of the Lord refers and always refers to God's word. Psalms 119, 1, read with me. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole hearts. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Verses 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. So even here in the Psalms, God is saying that, or David is saying that, blessed are they that keep God, the God of Israel, the only true living God, that keep his testimonies, that keep his way, that walk in his ways. Blessed are they. Can we say the same today, folks? Can we say, we are blessed, we walk in his ways? And my prayer is that we can say yes. God's word says that those who walk in his law will also keep his precepts diligently, that they will strive to keep them. And then turn with me your Bibles to John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15, verses 10. Jesus in the New Testament is speaking to the disciples and says in a passage there in John 15, 10, if we keep his commandments, that we will abide in his love, but he also calls us friends when we do. He called them friends when they would keep his commands. John 15, 10, read with me. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. This is Jesus speaking, saying that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verses 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So there we're seeing that, and back there in the Old Testament a couple thousand years ago, that God is commanding Israel to do this, to do that, to do this, because I'm the Lord your God. And then Jesus comes on the scene some thousands of years later and says that if you do what I command you, and we know that he's given us two commands, and on this all the law and prophet hangs, that if we love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our mind and all our soul, that if we love our neighbor just as God has loved us, God says here, if we keep that, he says that ye are my friends, that we are his friends. You know, what a blessing that is. God there in that context is saying unto them that the servant knoweth not what the master do and all these things, but he goes on to say that ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Just as God commanded Israel in our passage to keep his judgments and ordinances, we too clear the lesson and application of this. Jesus even says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We see that in John 14, 15. All through the church epistles, when the apostle Paul is writing them letters, Paul is constantly urging them, the saints, to abstain from worldly lusts, to abstain from all appearances of evil, there in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, and to keep the word of God, to hide it in our hearts there in Psalms, and to live by it there in the book of Isaiah. God has given the direct command to us also, as his children now, to walk in his commands, to walk in his ordinances, to keep it. God's word says, even when we strive in the word of God, when we live for the Lord, when we walk in his holiness and in his righteousness, he even says that we will have good success. You know, the world talks about good success and what it looks like. But the Bible only says that we're at one time, that when we own His word, that when we obey His commands, that when we follow Him and strive to live for Him as a holy set apart and peculiar people, God says that we will have good success. And ain't that a blessing? Then in verse 5, it reads, "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." Verse 5, back in our passage there, Leviticus 18. It's the same as verse 4 of our passage, to keep God's statutes and His judgments. You know, John the Baptist's parents, I even read here on the account of John the Baptist's parents, Zacharias, who was a priest at the time, and his wife Elizabeth, that before she even was pregnant with John the Baptist, the account they're given on both of them is that they were set apart people, that they always walked in the commands of the Lord, and that they kept His law diligently. And then the angel appeared unto him as he was executing the office of the high priest, of the priest. And the angel said, you know, "I'm going to bless you with a son," even though Elizabeth, she couldn't have any children. But God had blessed her with a son. And the account there is that God said that they were holy, that they are walking in His commands, that they are keeping His ordinances all the time. And that's a good example of people who strive to live for the Lord. So verses 5 of our passage here, I won't be keeping you too long, we're wrapping it up. It says that ye shall therefore keep my statutes. You know, when we see that word therefore, it's there for a reason. And my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So through this passage here in Leviticus 18, we are seeing the importance of keeping the judgments. We are seeing the importance of keeping the ordinances. We are seeing the importance of keeping the statutes and commands of God, and to not have fellowship with the world and wickedness. You know, God had called Israel out of bondage. There's a saying that God delivered Israel out of Egypt in one night, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. So God has commanded us to not walk in their ways, to not walk with the world in the way they walk. God is saying unto us to keep His commands, to keep His word, and to live by it. And when we don't, verses 29 there in our passage, it was saying to Israel that the person that keeps not the commands of God, the person that commits these abominations, which was things that they shouldn't do there in Israel in the context, that they would be cut off. Jesus even speaks, well, the Bible even speaks in 1 John that there is a sin unto death. When we as saints now, in this age of grace, in this dispensation of grace, if we decide to live in sin, if we don't get right with God, if we live an unrepentant life, then God will take us home early. And God will take us home early. We have become an unprofitable servant. So we are to keep the ordinances of God. Again, our title there is keep mine ordinances. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time of hearing your word. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for the lesson that we can learn through your people, Israel, and that, Lord, how they didn't keep your ordinances when you commanded them to, Lord. And Father, and we just pray that as we see them as constant examples through your word, that, Lord, we can learn off them, Father. And your word says that the things of old were written for our learning. So, Father, just continue to teach us. Help us to walk with you, Lord, as a holy people, as a royal priesthood, Lord, as a set apart and chosen people from you, as redeemed folks. Lord, just help us to live the way that your word would have us to go. Help us to stay in your word, Lord, and to hide it in our hearts. Bless the upcoming services. In thy name we pray.